What's up?
Hey.
Welcome to What's Up, eh? This is the weekly show, of course, with Andrea Allen. Andrea, how are you?
Ooh, that cracked weirdly.
Kind of as a professional.
Seriously.
And we talked to Andrea about what's going on. What's going on in the Keith and the girl world? What's going on in our personal life? Of course, what we didn't get a chance to talk about, Andrea, is that you were visiting Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Your boyfriend-in-laws you met, right?
I did.
And you met both the mother and the father.
No.
Father.
No
definitely
father.
Not.
Because you don't get along.
Because men are shit to me. No. I mean, he was raised by a lesbian, actually.
Two women.
He was raised by one woman, and there was a stepmom for a while, and then they broke up, and then there's a new stepmom, but the second one is just like who is like the, I guess, girlfriend, you would say. She didn't have hands in raising him. But
I don't
want
to blow your mind,
mm-hmm.
but how did he come out?
He came out of his mom's sister's vagina.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
I was discussing doing that for Michael if he ever needed.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a surrogate thing though.
You would have sex with your brother and get to give them a baby.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. That's exactly where I was going. Yes. Yes. And I've been dying to.
What would you do for your brother?
Or he would do it for me. I don't remember. I know what it was.
That's important.
It was if I would need like his, because I don't want to have it, but let's say if I would need his sperm to be like
what?
My side of things.
The fuck is going on here?
Right? She was
well, if Hubbyface wants to host a baby, right?
Right.
If he wants to host it
with your brother.
In his uterus. Yes. He would take my brother's sperm and they would inject it.
What?
And this because if I were to need something like this is my family and your family coming together.
Oh.
But I don't necessarily feel that need, but we like brought it up.
Okay, so but I am glad that we got to the bottom of this.
You want the Khalili sperm.
If I were to need that, like as if, you know, because we look alike, we have the same genes, so it's like I don't have sperm, so that would be like the sperm donor. I don't see why that's a big deal. You're picturing me and my brother have sex, and you shouldn't be.
Now, if you go back and listen, you made it very confusing. You're acting like we're not grown adults.
Yes, but once I explain it,
which just happened this fucking second,
I guess you need a minute to catch
up. You're like, I want to have my brother's baby, and we're both like, what?
Yes,
I would do that for my brother. Guys, grow up.
What could it be? I would fuck my brother?
I don't know. Who the fuck knows?
No, I would just get AIDS for my brother.
You read a new article? I don't know what you're saying. Everybody needs to grow up.
Maybe after 13 years, you'll know what I'm saying.
Okay, so.
When I say I would do it for my brother, it means that Hennessy and Michael's insides would come together.
Yeah, in whatever way would feel comfortable for everybody. We don't need it. I'm never going to have a baby.
Would you do it in an uncomfortable way? Or in a comfortable way, right? Remember, I'm on your side, right?
Remember, I'm on your side.
Wow.
I'm on everybody's side.
I'm
that was
outside.
Confusing. We're weirdos and perverts.
Right.
And you should know that we were, of course, going to jump to the most disgusting possible conclusion.
True.
Facts. What happened here with Dustin is that his mother got impregnated with
Dustin's sperm.
With Dustin came back to the future.
That's what he used his time machine for. Not Hitler. Trump.
That's actually his play was kind of about that type of theme about like meeting your future, your father in the future, because he doesn't know who his dad is. His mom had sex with someone. He doesn't know who it is. Whether or not the dad knew that Dustin was alive, we don't know. But his biological or bio mom, which is a fun term I learned, didn't want to have a baby because she was too young or wasn't ready for it. And then her sister, who is a lesbian who can't have children, I mean, can, but doesn't want to have sex with a man to have children, was like, I'll take them.
Is Dustin having some kind of identity crisis, not knowing the dad?
No. He's actually relatively chill about the not knowing the dad. I think the point of, I mean, as chill as you can be,
right?
You know, but I think the thing that bothers him is the rejection from the mom. The fact that the mom had him and then kind of like in his mind, like, pawned him off onto someone else.
Right. So I guess he's not going to appreciate, like, my, oh my God, that's so beautiful.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. It wasn't no. like a beautiful. It was like, I don't want this fucking thing. Do you want? Okay, I guess the lesbian over there will take, you know.
I mean, I could, you know, that's, from my point of view, it's beautiful. But I,
yeah.
But, you know, everyone has their own stuff to take care of.
He appreciates that. He loves his mom so much for taking him on, where he probably would have been in the foster care system, or who knows what would have happened to him. But it is being raised by someone who's not your parents. So it probably feels weird. I think he has some residual stuff about it.
Do you think sometimes somebody would say, oh, look at you two, you're mother's son? He's like, I'm not.
Okay, I mean, he is. I like that he was raised by a lesbian, to be honest. He has like a very female perspective on everything, and I was like, perfect. You know, I don't ever feel any weird bullshit coming from him, because he was raised in the South by a blue collar lesbian, I'll say, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I think some people, like, you know, the lipstick lesbian, they give them more passes because they're attractive and it's like sexy. But his mom is like this, like, rough and tough.
She can lift a couch.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
She works at a shipping yard. She's like a hardcore woman. And then he's like this kind of thin, effeminate. He got bullied a lot, is what I'm saying.
Oh, damn.
You know?
So there are two moms now?
Yes. But that he doesn't treat his mom's girlfriend as his mom.
Okay.
Her name's Beverly, and he calls her Beverly.
He was an adult when they got together?
I want to say like 16, 17. Okay. And then...
So no one's raising you anymore.
No, I think he would say he was raised by his mom and partially his stepmom, but mostly his mom. So, you know, but he wrote a play about... It was supposed to be a one-man... The guise is that it's a one-man show, but he keeps getting interrupted by all these characters. And one of them is like his future dad coming back save him. But then his future dad is like fucking the girl that he loves and is like a weird creep. And then there's a murder mystery. And like, it was very like wacko and fun.
Now, when you visit, this is before the Nazis came to town, mm-hmm. right?
God.
And you're in Virginia. You do a play. Is this a different play?
Same play.
This is the same play.
Yeah. She's one of the interrupters, right?
Uh-huh.
And what's your character?
I am the loan shark.
He had a loan shark in his life?
Yes. Like, the central plot is that there's a loan... He borrowed money to produce the show. The loan shark comes on stage to try to get the money back from him. Then the rest of the play is him trying to get the money. But then he meets his dad, and his dad's a weirdo and, like, dated the girl that he loves. I'm, like, butchering it, but...
Does he stop all of a sudden, turn to the audience, and now I'm trying to get the money?
Yeah, it was very much like that. Okay. Like, it's... When I read the script, I'm like, it's super... it has a lot of artifice to it, and like, it's very over the top, but that's the point. People are like getting shot on stage, and there's that he's running ads like, to get the money we'll get sponsors for the show, and then they have like people come in and do ads in the middle of the show, which was funny. It was great. But I'm not he cast someone else as this loan shark character. They couldn't do it. And so I was like, well, I'm going to be down there. If you want me to do it, I'll do it. Just know that I'm going to be terrible. And he's like, no, you're going to be great. He's so fucking nice. I'm like, I know I'm bad. Like, I'm telling you that I'm bad.
This is the opposite of a casting director, right?
Yeah.
No, please.
You're going to be. And I'm like, it's fine. I'm happy to do this for you. I want to help you. I want your show to be good. I will offer my services in that I will be a body during this play, and I will say the words that you wrote down. But
how many lines?
At least like 20 or so.
Oh, that's a lot.
Okay. I start in the beginning, and then I come in at the end, and I have to like make an entrance and walk through the audience, and I'm like, well, well, well. And I'm like, this is so...
You're in your head about it.
I feel like a douche, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get how people are good actors, and I just lack that ability to take it serious. And it is a funny play, so it kind of works that I'm this douche, but...
What makes it hard, do you think, to be a good actor that deep down you know, what are we doing here?
Yeah, like what are we talking? Oh, I'm a loan shark all of a sudden, and I'm walking through this comedy club being like, hey, kids, give me that money. Like, it's just like...
Every so often she wants to go, are we still good here? But how come you can do stand-up? You don't stop and go, because you're
that's
yourself.
That's true, it's scripted, yeah.
Because stand-up, your voice... I feel, I don't know, I think there's different like types of stand-ups, but the stand-up that I enjoy the most and the stand-up that
it's
I
honest.
Do is honest, yeah. So, like, if you watch...
Let's just... I just want to interrupt you, because when you opened for Keith, your ending was so... theatrical and dramatic
sure.
that it's funny that
you're that just, I'm like
yeah because you are fully committed on stage
but it is me the whole time
true
that's the thing
but you did pretend to die and you're still
sure.
alive
of course that's ridiculous you know what I mean
she did die
I lay on the stage it's not that I'm like above being an asshole or being theatrical I'm pretty theatrical I actually have a musical theater background but I'm so used to performing this one way, which is this is me. I'm trying to stay as true to my voice as possible. I just get the heebie-jeebies. I don't know if you, whenever you see a stand-up who is doing performing and you're like, I don't know anything about you. You're telling all these jokes, but it's just like, well, like wordplay, kind of punny stuff or like maybe more old school comedy where it's just mostly joke writing. Like, I'm so, that makes me cringe. And I also don't like improv really either for the same reason.
What musicals have you performed?
I was in Guys and Dolls. I was a Hotbox Girl, which is like the back, you know, the chorus sluts.
That's how they sold it to you.
Honestly, we wore like crop tops and gingham skirts. It was like very weird for it being like a child's play.
What's a gingham skirt?
The like picnic blanket pattern.
Oh.
It was like a little whore outfit. Mm. And it's
That's
like
so funny.
The, I love you. It's like very like
Catholic schoolgirl is the whore outfit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Catholic schools, get to know it, change your shit. Are you sold on this plaid skirt thing?
Okay. Yeah.
Next up, continue.
Did the Catholic schoolgirls start it or did porn start it? You know what I mean?
It. Porn started it because Catholic schoolgirls, they made them naughty in the porn.
Sure.
Yeah.
And now, but here we are.
Yeah.
So I was in Guys and Dolls twice. I was in Little Women. I wanted to be in musical theater when I was a kid, and then I realized I have no talent.
Can you sing?
Bass, not in like a very minor way.
Sing Happy Birthday.
No.
That was
good. You see,
good.
I get uncomfortable.
That was had tone.
No. It's a putting yourself out there in a goofy way.
Acting makes me crazy nervous. I want to be a good actor so badly, and I've been in stuff, and it puts me in this anxiety place, whereas, you know, Hennessy's just like, yes, memorizes scripts, like they're nothing in a day, like entire scripts, and gets on stage. When I was doing it, I was doing it because people knew I was a singer, so you see confidence on stage, you think like, oh, you could just speak the words instead of singing. Uh-huh. I told them, I was like, please don't give me any lines. Let me sing everything.
Yeah.
Because I just get nervous. And mm-hmm. it's that thing. It's like, hey, Keith. Like, why don't you just say, hey, Keith? I'm like, I don't know. When I was a kid, because my next door neighbor tried out for this play, I tried out for a play too. And it was like the Charlie Brown, Who Gives a Shit. I was not even there because I wasn't a kid that was present. I just wasn't. And I had like two lines or something. One of them was, we had spaghetti three times last week, okay? And I'm supposed to be in love with whoever, Linus. I don't remember the character. And I'm just following him with puppy eyes while he does an entire monologue. I'm just supposed to blah, blah, blah. And at the end, because I didn't listen, I go, we had spaghetti three times last week. And the whole time he's talking, I never knew what he was saying. Mm-hmm. I never knew what was going
on. Freaking out.
I'm just going, we had spaghetti three times last week. And then I would miss my mark because I'm busy saying it to myself. And I go, we had spaghetti three times last week. I might have been like 10 or something.
Yeah.
Maybe older. It was very embarrassing. I could tell the director was like, I can't stand that we have to accept the neighborhood kid because it was just like a neighborhood.
Right. You're so bad. How can I even accept you?
I felt the disdain from the adults.
Oh, yeah.
Me. I felt it. I was just like, I don't know, man. I got accepted into this. You gave me a line. You should have said no.
God bless all the parents that attend this horse shit and have to pretend it's good. It must be so terrible. I think I did. Oh, there was another play I did. It was like a sports play. It was called Get in the Game in middle school. And I was so bad. And I broke my leg like in real life during the rehearsals for this play. So they switched. My one line was, someone's like, break a leg. I crutch on stage and I go, been there, done that. And I like crutch off. It's humiliating. Like, I know I'm bad. It's just, I know. Then the only acting thing that I ever did with success was when I was the Wicked Witch in The Wizard of Oz, because it's fucking hilarious. It's a hilarious part. Like, I stepped on stage with this ridiculous witch costume and people were laughing immediately, knowing that it's me. You know what I mean?
I see.
So I can play funny because I'm a funny person, but to like have range outside of that, especially in like this weird vaudeville character, like, hello, but like, oh God.
It's all ego, right? Because if you just take away your ego, you could just do that. You're doing it. You know?
I know. But it's not even ego. I'm just like, you all know I feel like a douche right now.
Right. That's ego.
Yeah.
What else is it?
I guess.
You think you're looking like a douche, but you're not.
I know.
You know. But I've gotten better because I'll tell you what, I totally get why acting classes is a thing. It's just it's practice A.
Yeah.
But it was Hennessy that like, he just says a couple things about acting and I'm like, I kind of got it a little bit better and it got me out of my head and I was able to act better with him.
Yeah.
Like what? Listen?
Honestly, listen, but it never clicked because he's like, you're memorizing lines and what you're not recognizing is if you stop memorizing it, you know what your character would say there. And when I started thinking that way, I started seeing even shows that way. And I would pick up on lines. I would say the next line of the character because he's like, see, that's how they memorize things. They're not memorizing it. That's the way your character would respond.
Yeah.
I mean, of course you have to memorize things. Of course, there's more to it. But little things like that allowed me to be a little bit better.
I get self-conscious about the artifice of it as well. Mm-hmm. And so because it's artificial, I want to then make it even more because I'm like, this is so fucking stupid. Mm-hmm. Especially when I'm walking through, I had to make an entrance through the club.
So
now I'm like touting around like, ladies, it's just like, oh God.
What were your lines? Tell us your first, okay, walk through the club.
It's like, well, 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 what a fancy establishment. I want to throw up while I'm like saying this right now.
Would you say on stage, well, 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 what a fancy establishment. Sorry, guys. Sorry,
yeah, everybody. I'm so sorry. I know this is fine. I'm not a douche like this, please. And also, this is the first time I'm meeting my boyfriend's mom is being a terrible actor on stage. And I'm like, she knows I'm a stand-up. She probably is assuming that I'm going to be good at this. And then I'm coming up there like nervous and like half forgetting stuff, like looking at him in the eyes like, I can't, I hate this. This is so the worst.
Hello.
Yeah, it's honestly that. I go into like extreme character actor just to protect myself from having to do this.
Did you really drop lines?
Yes.
Did he help you?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's totally comfortable. And it was great. He wrote all these like wonderful characters. It was a great play. I was happy to help him out, but it was a very big stretch for me.
Did you guys have sex that night?
No.
Of course not. You can't fuck something you don't respect.
Now remember that he's on your side.
Also, we were on an air mattress and I was like, I hate plays and I hate this air mattress and I also hate Virginia. So please.
You've been saying you've been having anxiety attacks.
Yes.
How long is lately? For how long?
They started happening when I came back from Canada. So maybe I want to say like a month or so, give or take.
And have you been feeling more stressed?
No, that's the thing that's bizarre about it is that I feel as if I'm in a place in my life where I'm doing what I want to do. I have a lot of freedom. Like my relationships with everyone around me is really good. I'm surrounded by great people.
Would that cause anxiety, like the shoe's about to drop or something?
A little bit, but I've been here before.
Because we can think of a couple things. Here's what I'd be nervous about.
Yeah, I don't know.
Our neighbors are Nazis.
Sure. Someone's breaking into the apartment. I started meditating And also, like, I don't know if this is a thing, but in your late 30s, do you start to, or late 20s, early 30s, do you start to, like, get things a little bit more? Like, understand?
You better, yeah, sure.
Yeah, no, I know. But, you know, like...
There's what do you call the crossover? There's...
Adulthood.
No, but I think there's always mile marks,
yeah,
in your life. And this, if you're saying that, then yeah, I would say as women approach 30, they
start drying up.
Whether they want to or not, they start considering that age, you know. I don't know if that's a thing.
And, you know,
it could be so many things.
Yeah, I think, like, okay, so back to my dad. Live therapy session. I saw him briefly before I came back. And he's always like not in the best health. In the last few years, it's been worse. Like he has a medication that he takes, because of his heart transplant. He's a heart transplant and a kidney transplant. So he takes medications to stop both of those organs from rejecting in his body. And they have a lot of side effects. Like he's 65. The doctors, when he had the heart transplant, were like, you would be lucky to live to 60. So there's always kind of this like, ooh, with it. And recently he was taking a med that that made the walls of his heart thicken out of like nowhere. And so
does that make it hard to breathe?
Well, you'll die eventually because your heart will just...
Yeah. But is it hard to breathe?
Yes.
Can he run 2 miles?
He's exercising like crazy. He's very health conscious. But they weren't sure. He's such a like anomaly of a person that they don't know how to treat. It's a transplanted heart that has this problem. So now they're like, okay, this is a transplant heart. This is someone else's heart. And you're also on a bunch of other meds. So it's like this cocktail. They're not sure how to treat it because he's such a like medicated human being to even function.
Can we make it so these doctors start watching TV more? I would watch ER. They figure out a new cure every day. Dr. House figured out somebody was turning into an alien. They know how to solve things. Everybody's opening up a new practice because they figured out an all new disease.
Just put a pig heart in there.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. We thought you'd die and you didn't. Duh.
Well, he does defy all odds. So.
But he warns you every time he's about to defy it. And that's pretty nerve wracking.
He's always dying. But, right. But honestly, in this situation, he actually really is always like somewhere. And then another thing that happened was that because of the anti-rejection medication he takes, he gets skin cancer from, like, he had exposure to sun when he was younger. He's getting these lesions, and they're not just like, precancerous lesions. They're cancer. So they have to pour all this like acid shit on him to kill them. And he's getting like big lesions on his head and face, and like it's gnarly. Mm. And I've been here before, you know.
Your father was in the hospital for a while.
I've seen a lot of like horrendous medical shit, but he just looks more sick than I've seen him in a while. And he also is making these weird jokes about dying all the time because I think that's how he copes with it. And he doesn't really talk to many people about it, so he talks to me about it. Mm. So there's that. So I saw him, and that's always like a reminder of that.
During your meditation,
mm-hmm,
if you reminded yourself that you both don't get along, could that ease the pain?
I think that the fact that we don't get along is what's bothering me, because I think that like I know that it's closer to the end and I have all these like big problems with him. And I'm like, do I say this? How useful is that? I also see the way that he treats me and my family members, and I start to understand. I guess I'm starting to understand how they've affected. Like, he's kind of an emotionally abusive person, and then when you're in it for years, and then you're away from it, and then you become an adult, and you see another adult being abusive, and you're like, oh my god, it's like it was you all along. And then I'm like making all these connections. You know, it's just like it's overwhelming, all of it at one time. So then I'm like, I'm just going to meditate. I'm like, did I open a weird floodgate by meditating? Like, is me being more aware of it making it all come at one time.
That could be because
I don't know.
It's like forcing you to walk through it.
Yeah.
And you can't walk around it anymore, not even a little, or not even as much as you want to in order to keep your peace.
Yeah.
Until you can walk through it.
I mean, you don't talk to your parents. Did you feel anxiety about it in the beginning phases of like just deciding not to have a relationship with them?
Did you feel anxiety when your dad was having cancer?
Well, my dad was having cancer. They were still living here and I was still seeing them. When he came out of his, it's funny, I was thinking that when he came out of his surgery, he was still woozy and out of it. And mm-hmm. he was like sort of screaming for help in a way. And mm-hmm. I'm not used to my dad even like being in pain or showing it.
Right.
I walked out. My mom was there. I was just like, I got to walk out because he can't see me crying. And I just burst into.
Yeah.
And so I can't even imagine, like, that was a moment. You mm-hmm. know, you went through a lot more. There was a lot that I went through with my parents. I felt guilty that mm-hmm. I wasn't giving them what they want in a child. Mm-hmm. And, you know, easily, all they are asking me is to be a good person, you know?
But right.
It's not true.
Do you know what bothered him? Is that even during that pain, you still wouldn't even cry?
No, he hated when I cried. He, like, even when there was things to cry about, he's like, why are you crying?
And oh, I'm yeah.
like, this is normal.
My dad would go, don't make a scene.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. why are you being so like...
You're
like,
being dramatic.
I'm doing it to him.
Yeah.
So I learned, like, not to do that.
It's offensive.
Him. Yeah.
Oh, I got, I'll give you something to cry about.
Yeah, well, that's a fun one.
I'm good. I'm already crying.
Yeah. You don't need to elevate this situation.
There was a lot of, so there was guilt and then there was anger. I lived in that anger and I realized the anger helped me justify that I wasn't with them, but mm-hmm. it really just kept me in an angry place. Mm-hmm. Then I started finding forgiveness. I separated. I'm like, I don't need parents anyway, but most of it is bullshit that it's like, I feel like I had to go if I'm not still going through the seven, I think there's seven stages of grief.
Mm-hmm.
I had to like understand that my parents are still alive and that I have to grieve their death mm-hmm. so that because I don't have access to them really and they're right. not really there. And I also have to realize that whatever I have from them is what I have. And even if I try to push more, I'll still have that. I'll just have me pushing them into this other place and it'll be bad. But another thing I've been thinking about lately, it's funny why you ask, is...
Doing a fake funeral and seeing how you feel.
Mm-hmm. I do think about it. I do think about him dying often. It's a topic of conversation in our family, which is morbid.
It was embedded in like your
He's
whole
always
upbringing.
Been on the edge. But now the topic of him dying is always interlaced with this weird like, who's he going to give his money to? And that's gross. And there's often like, you should be good with him so that he gives you his money. And I'm like, ugh, that's not a family.
And that's not even a thing. You know what I mean?
No.
There's no real way to do that.
Yeah.
He's just going.
When am I going to gaslight? Like, he's the ultimate. You know what I mean? So yeah. It's just. Sorry. What were you saying recently?
Recently I've been thinking. Do I make amends with them for my benefit? And I'm working it out. And I don't think it comes really quick, a black and white answer. And so what I landed on is I'm going to write them a letter when I have the patience and time. And mm-hmm. they could die before that, but mm-hmm. I'll always write it. And according to the meetings that I go to, even if after they die you write it, you still will gain some peace.
Mm-hmm.
And then after you write it, you could work out which one is necessary to tell him. What is just accusing him of stuff that it doesn't matter anymore? Mm-hmm. And what's telling him just, I love you. I love you. You are the best dad that you can possibly be. And I just want to start from there.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll get it. You know, even if he was the best dad that he could be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even with all the garbage and whatever that you actually know.
Like given what he was and comes from.
Yes.
Sure.
And well, who wasn't, though?
Absolutely. So
yeah.
In order to, I mean, there are some people who really took it over the edge, but to see the compassion, and I know that you do, to see compassion in your dad, to have compassion when you look at your dad, you do love him in that compassion.
Of course. Yeah, yeah.
So the letter would come from there, and then he would get that. And from what I understand, there's rest in that.
Well, there's two things. So you write the letter, and let's say your dad did die, but still write the letter. Give it to Andrew. Andrew will put on a wig, act it out, and give you peace. Also,
you can do a ceremony where you just pretend to be each other's parents back and forth to one another.
Hello, Panda. God, I feel stupid. You have been forgiven of all.
Keith, what do you think of your dad?
He's like, the best.
No, but are you, because your dad is always dying also.
He's always been dying.
Yeah.
But not really dying.
Yeah.
Whatever. You'll die when you die. Well, right now, like, it's weird that there's been so many scares, but right now there is a scare going on. So, you know, I don't know.
Does the scare kick up anything for you?
No, because I happened to see him recently.
So he has moment in?
So if he doesn't die within 3 years, I'm going to have to make another visit.
I see.
It does feel like a duty almost, which is right. Gross. Because yeah. It's like, I don't want to treat you like you're a kid I have to take care of. But I guess that's how we are now. I don't know.
But don't they love it? Like, let's say you had, even if it was for you, mm-hmm. you wanted to get some things off your chest. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you'd have to come with some nice things too. Mm-hmm. But don't people like that?
Like,
you know what I mean? Like for example, Catherine went to this landmark thing and realized some things that bothered her about her dad. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it came from a nice place, but she told him that. Mm-hmm. And everybody left a little happier and a little healthier.
Yeah.
And it is like, you're the reason that you and mom broke up, and you're the reason that I had fucked up feelings about relationships. Mm-hmm. And you know the dad's like, well, thank God you told me.
Well, not everyone's going to have that response.
Not the whole fucking world, but yeah. We're talking about Andrea's dad who might be sane.
The thing is, he jumps in and out of sanity. He's very smart. There were moments right after the divorce where I was like, you're so crazy right now. I think you might put a hit out on my mom to kill her. Like, that's the level of like...
Don't ask then.
Sure. No, I know. But that's what I'm saying is that he goes in and out of it. And there are times... And I don't know if he would ever really do that. But I saw this in him that I'm like, wow, you're really in a dark, fucked up place. He's also been through some like horrendous shit.
But here's the thing, it's not about that. You don't have to be like, you did this and you did that.
Yeah.
It's more from your perspective of like, I feel inadequate around you because of this. Not because you cheated on my mind, because I find it hard to trust you, but I want to. So that's different than accusing someone of being an asshole. It's that I feel uncomfortable because of this. But why even, like, he knows what he did. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He knows what he did.
He knows, but I think that for him to fully understand the ramifications of all of it, he'd have to look at it, and I don't think that he would like to.
And you can't push him to, and it might never happen. And
I don't think it'll ever happen. He's happy just, like, being rich and having a hot wife.
Do you think nothing's getting in because the walls of his heart are too thick?
Maybe. I hope so. I don't know. And I also worry about my brother, because my brother, he was much more emotionally abusive towards my brother in a way that like fucked up my brother deeply. And so I'm like, he's got the Keith attitude. It's like, we'll hang out, we'll talk about nothing. And I'm like, this has got to be manifesting itself somewhere fucked up for you. If me and him had a relatively healthier relationship than him and my brother, and I'm a fucking mess about it all the time, like, what are you dealing with, you know?
Have you asked him?
He shuts it down so hard. Mm. I can't even get near it with him. So I'm like...
So then I guess there is something, because I don't shut it down so hard, I don't think. Or maybe people think I do, but I'm like, I don't care.
I mean, honestly, sometimes you shut things down without realizing it. I don't blame you. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of times we're just asking each other bombs of questions. And I think, you know, you can deflect it, but I wouldn't blame you for it. But there's mm-hmm. no way that you, Keith Malley, are the only person who's addressing every issue that's happening in their life.
I am, actually. Somebody out there has to be, right? It happens to be someone you know.
You're the new Buddha.
Yeah.
You found it.
Someone was.
You found the light.
No, there's only one Buddha. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I truly don't know what that is, but it seems like it's very eerily connected. I also, like, just as a small example, like, I was like, oh, my podcast... we got like this many downloads this month. And he's like, oh, it's still not in the top 10 in iTunes. And I'm like, what?
He doesn't even know what that means.
I don't know. And then he shows me all the finance podcasts he listens to.
No.
I'm like, is this how you're relating to me? God, you're such a dick. And then
a popular, this is something my dad would do. Son, a popular thing nowadays I saw in the news is finance podcasts.
Mm. Yes.
Look into that.
Mm-hmm. It's like close to that. Right. This mm-hmm. is very popular. I listen to this.
And I mean, how about this? My brother, my older brother is in podcasting also. They think what I do is a piece of shit and what he does is always incredible.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, okay.
And then I was like, I'm so hard on myself all the time. I have like this dialogue of like, not good enough, not good enough. And when I was younger, up until recently, I'd be like, well, it's hard to deal with that. But, you know, I think that makes me be better. Like that makes me push myself harder. And then I just was like, no, it doesn't. What a useful fucking thing to be doing all the time. It probably makes me worse because I spent all this time being anxious about how shitty I am when I could just be doing things. Like I used to think that he pushed me to work harder. I just think that he was shitty.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I don't think that you need to feel like shit about yourself to be a successful person. I think it achieves the opposite. And I just like, he would do all these things and I would see them, I guess, in a different point of view since I've been away from it. And I was like, oh God, oh, this is another shitty thing that you did that I didn't even realize is connected to all these neuroses. You
know, this might not be your age. It might be your sobriety.
Probably.
Just, you don't have any.
Did you have anxieties when you were drinking?
Yes, so bad. That's what, I was getting panic attacks to the debilitating point. And that's sort of when I first started going to therapy. And then I started getting sober shortly after and they went away. And now the anxiety attacks are here.
Okay, forget that idea then.
Sure. No, but they're much small. Like my throat is tightening up. I feel like I lump in my throat all the time. When I'm working or doing something that is like, I'm putting pressure on myself for it. When I'm doing stand-up, when I'm socializing, when I'm not doing that stuff, it's fine. But
if you wrote your dad a letter mm-hmm. so that we can see if your attacks go away or not,
mm-hmm.
will, if he wrote some kind of nasty letter back, could that make things worse for you?
No, because I don't think he would write a nasty letter back. I think
if he was dismissive, could it make things worse?
Which human can handle that 100%? Right? When you think about it, no matter what.
I could. It'd be if...
it'd be like confirmed. If he confirmed, wrote,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. But it would still be sad.
No. To me, it'd be almost doing me a favor.
I
can't both of those things exist? Like, because I agree with that. You know, when my parents are like, Baba, you know, whatever shit, I'm like, okay, I'm right. I'm not just putting it on myself. I'm not being a woe is me. Like, they mm-hmm. don't want to see me. They're not interested in me. It always has a tinge of sad. The sadness is less and less, of course. And
sure.
But it's always like you say, Keith, that's a shame.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's a shame. I think I stand up to him more than most people do.
I don't. You're right. I don't even talk to him.
Lucky. But I think I'm shocked at how submissive I am around him. And it's like, who the fuck is that? What? Why are you just letting him be an asshole to you? But I'm like, oh, you're
isn't
like
that funny.
You're like an abuse victim. That's ugh.
But you know, I've watched like, you know, 60 year old people go and you know, when I'm around my parents, I just feel too. And I'm like, I guess that's the dynamic that either a parent wants to get out of or not, but it's usually up to them. Because your mother got out of that dynamic with you.
Sure.
You know, and you don't feel that way around her, but when your dad doesn't look at things, then he doesn't allow that dynamic with you.
I say write a letter. Keep in mind, you never have to send it
mm-hmm.
and see how you feel. Because obviously this is something. I'm not saying it's, I don't know if it's related, but
no, it has to. I'm like, what else could this be? You know? I don't know.
You visited Virginia.
That's true.
So
I did act.
Well, I'll tell you what, Andrew. You put it out there. You're not artificial at all.
No.
Right? Is that a real word?
Artifice.
Yeah, all right. If you say so. Okay. So
you are incredible.
Oh, thank you.
I think
tell Gord that.
I think
he thinks I'm a real piece of shit.
I'll tell Baby Bud to tell Gord because a lot of times I go home and I'm just like, oh, Andrea today.
Oh, thank
you. Let me tell you something.
Come
on. Oh, God.
I do that too. I go home. I'm like, Andrea. Ugh. Yeah, we're all making sounds, you know.
It's an I before E except after C, bitch.
If you want me to write the letter, I'll write the letter. Okay?
Please.
You study Grammarly, I'll write the letter.
Okay.
Okay, deal? All right. What's up?
Hey. We had spaghetti 3 times last week.
Flawless.